I'll use this example. Apple is one of my favorite brands simply because of how they market their stuff and how they design. They use design to their advantage. They're very design focused. Whenever they release a new product, of course, they have their homepage, but they always change the homepage to reflect what happened at the keynote. And when you click on it, it gives you a nice landing page and it just carries you through that story of how the phone does this, it does that, these are the features, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end, order now.
How do you convert clicks to actual money, 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 money? Money! You don't necessarily need an expensive website. You could just use a landing page. To find out how to do this, we're going to be joined by co-founder and chief design officer at Vota Virtual Solutions, Kevon Brown, on this episode of Money Moves, JA, brought to you in partnership with Exim Bank's Business Advisory Service, giving you the tools to grow your business. So Kevon is actually also the graphic designer behind most of the stuff that you may see on KRM, so like our YouTube thumbnails and quite a bit of other stuff. So now you are in front of the camera. We're putting you on the spot, Kevon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, so soft-spoken.
Yes.
You're nervous?
Very.
No, you shouldn't be nervous because you are really, really good at what you do. Today we're talking about landing pages. First of all, what is a landing page?
A lot of the misconceptions around the landing pages and websites, there are quite a few. There is kind of a distinct difference between a landing page and a website. A website has multi pages, it's multifunctional, and there are a lot of layers to it. While a landing page historically is really just one page. So it could be a one-page website where even if you're at the top of the page and you click a link, it will carry you to the bottom depending on where the creator wants you to go. So a landing page is technically just for carrying your customers to a specific area so that you can convert them.
What do you mean by convert them?
So if you sell a product or a service and you want them to take an action, just by visiting the site, it allows them to go to a checkout or somewhere where they can actually, you know, pay for your service or your product.
Okay, so for example, my masterclass has a landing page.
Exactly.
The newsletter has a landing
yeah.
page. That's where you collect the information. So what makes a good landing page? Because recently I was trying to create one myself. I had to go Google what should I put on there.
Okay, so before you start, you need to have something called a USP, which is a unique selling proposition. So that is essentially setting the expectations of your customer. So you lay out exactly what they see, what they experience. A good way to understand this is by asking yourself why you're doing what you're doing. A book from Simon Sinek, he's a favorite author of mine. He wrote this book called Start With Why that went through a lot of how big companies, especially big tech companies, were able to convert a lot of people because of this why. So why am I doing this? And by explaining that why, you're able to onboard customers or get them involved much easier than say, hey, I do this, do that, do that. Because you are really a fish in a big pond and many other fish could be doing the same thing. But what makes you different? So your unique selling proposition divides you from the rest. So when you have that now, you are able to create that layout. A unique selling proposition has really like three functions underneath it. It takes the form of a main title, a subtitle, and a closing argument. So the main title is like your headline. It's supposed to be very short, very punchy, to the point. Your subtitle, of course, supports your main title. So where you have masterclass, investing for beginners, right? Oh, I'm a beginner. I want to invest.
Mm-hmm.
That draws me in already. Now your subtitle explains further what your main title can't. But I would recommend that your subtitle don't go beyond maybe four lines,
mm-hmm.
right? You can expound. You don't need to tell the entire story of the company or product or service in that one area, right? So after that now, you have what is called a closing argument, which is what you close. You try to close the customer by giving them a strong call to action to say, all right, you want to learn? Get started for free or start now. 50% off whatever it may be. But your call to action needs to have something non-generic, like click here or go, something very bland. You want something that is going to build on the other two layers that you had before. Afterwards, you will have your hero section. Now, I'm going to be going into a lot of the design aspects of it, so it's very visual.
Please do. We need it.
So your hero section is essentially the, it's also called a header. It's like the first section of the landing page. So your websites are built into sections. You'll have like a top, middle, you know, how many sections? It can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So number one is what is really the hero section. The hero section is called hero because it is where, it is what saves the customer and carries them in, you know, and carries them through the whole process. So your main title, your subtitle, your closing argument should be in the hero section, and you'll have a nice picture or image. I personally wouldn't limit it to an image. The image can, or should, rather, if you use an image, it shouldn't be a very bland stock image. It needs to be something that relates to your unique selling proposition. It needs to relate to your main title, and it needs to relate to your subtitle. There is also a notion that you will have to tell a story. Telling a story is nice, but it is not compulsory. It varies based on what you're trying to achieve. So you can just have a nice picture that relates to your title, or you can create, for example, some sort of digital interactive 3D, you know, viewer that they have now. You have these things called Spline, you have Rive animations that allow you to create web-based animations. So you can, you know, use a mouse and click around and press buttons on your keyboard and it does something. So those things draw people in. So you can use that, or you can use an image depending on your budget. Going further down, now is where you start to get into what it is that you do or the features. But you need to remember that a feature is just telling somebody something, but it doesn't necessarily communicate value. What you'll have to do is link the two together. This is what this does, and then this is the value it brings to you. So you can illustrate that in a type of bullet section where you can lay out, say, for example, you have six items you want to, or six features you want to highlight. You have laid them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, preferably in two columns. So three per column, more visually appealing. You can use icons, have a nice color scheme. You can use your brand colors. And you use a similar structure to the main title and the subtitle. The main title would be the value proposition, because the value is what is more important. And below, you tell them what it does.
Right. So I was recently watching a video from AdWorld where they said that rather than features, you should translate your features into benefits.
Yes.
So if you have a feature, the more important thing is to let people know how it benefits them than selling all the features. So that's one. And you're speaking about color schemes as well. Some of us, we go overboard with the colors when we're trying to design DIY websites. What's best practice for website design as it relates to color?
Okay, so colors are, as you say, very important. It's very, you can go down a rabbit hole. There is a tool, an online tool that I use very frequently. It's called colors.co, I believe. It's a color AI generator tool where you're able to select one color and you click generate, and it will generate a stream of about 5 colors that complement each other. Mm-hmm. And you can cycle through them. So you just press a space bar and it generates 5 more each time. And you can choose one that works best for you. When you get it, what it will do is give you, and I'm getting a little bit into the technical stuff now, is that it will generate what is called a hex code or a color code. And this is what you'll use. If you don't design yourself, or you have a designer, you can give them the color code and they will be able to put in the colors. So that's a great way of getting the colors. It doesn't necessarily help you to synchronize the colors on the page, but it does give you much more of a narrowed scope,
a spectrum that
you can work with. So for me, I would not recommend you to use more than 4 colors, at best 4 brand colors. You will, of course, have your basic white, black, but what you'll need to have are main, you have your main color, which is your brand color, which you use mostly for main text. So you'll use it in your header, your hero section, your main text. Your subtitle text should technically be either black or gray or white, depending on what the background is. You wouldn't want, it's all hierarchy. You have this thing called a visual hierarchy. So what you want persons to see needs to be front and center. So if your main text would have to be bigger than your subtext, of course, and you want to also supplement that by giving it a brand color that pulls persons in.
So where should I put the buy button? Top, bottom, middle, all of the above?
Now, that is an interesting question because there's a lot of debate between marketers and designers about where that button situates. I think this is where I would inject the story aspect. I'll use this example. Apple is one of my favorite brands simply because of how they market their stuff and how they design. They use design to their advantage. They're very design focused. Whenever they release a new product, of course they have their homepage, but they always change the homepage to reflect what happened at the keynote. And when you click on it, it gives you a nice landing page and it just carries you through that story of how the phone does this, it does that, these are the features, etc., etc. And at the end, order now. They also have it at the top, but they really want you to go through the story first. So I would say it depends on the experience that you want your customer to have. If you want them to be totally immersed in what it is that you do and what you're offering, it's probably best to reel them in before you let them buy. If you let them try to buy too early, they'd probably be discouraged, unless they know you already.
So you say Apple puts it at both the top and the bottom.
Yes.
Which is smart because you have some people who come to the site, they've already decided.
Exactly.
They don't want to read through all that. They already watched the keynote on YouTube. They just want to order. No, they don't want to go through all that.
Yeah.
So you can put it twice.
You can put it twice. So it depends, as you say, based on your customer base. Because, you'll have persons who, you know what they want already. So I'm ready to go. Or you can just go right through. So at the end of it, you'll need to have that same strong call to action. So that's where you will end up having your buy button or your get free or, you know, whatever it is. But your call to action, of course, again, needs to reflect your unique selling proposition. It needs to reflect the experience that the person went through with your product. Or you could do what is called A/B testing. Now, this is another pretty technical aspect. Is that you can actually display pages to a subset of persons. For example, you visit the same page, but you see something different. I visit the same page and I see something different. And based on our interactions with the page, the creator will be able to say, okay, 50% of people prefer this page while the other prefer this page. Maybe we need to change the design or, you know, something. And then we try again and you realize 90% of the people prefer this page. Or, you know, we get more clicks from this version. So that is a version of the page that actually goes out to everybody after a while. So that's a good way of finding out what works. Because really and truly, web design is very experimental. Nothing is static. It is very important that you update your page frequently enough. Because web technologies also change. So something may happen and your page may break. And by break, meaning there's an update to the platform and the text may be lopsided or colors change. So it's important that you look at your page very frequently and update it. Just to add, you have a lot of companies that allow persons to create their own landing pages because website creation can be very complex, especially for persons who are not tech driven. So you have some websites such as Squarespace, Unbounce, you have MailChimp, and this one called Swipe Pages. Swipe Pages is more mobile first. They create web pages or landing pages for mobile first, and then
very
it goes
important
up for,
point.
For
because
the
Because most people
desktop.
Will view on mobile first
yes.
anyway.
So that is also a very good point to note, is that your site should more focus on mobile first. It's easier to design from mobile to desktop because, of course, a lot more people access the web from their mobile devices. And if you're going fancy, you also need to remember, and by fancy, I mean putting a lot of animations and, you know, these different things, your phone is not as powerful as your desktop. So it's important to know that some functions on a desktop version of a website won't work very well on a mobile device.
Mm. Thank you so much. These are great tips, Kevon.
You're welcome.
Here's a recap of Kevon's key points. A landing page typically has one page. This page is strategically designed to have the seller send the buyer to the landing page through a link which will hopefully in turn convert views to sales. The unique selling proposition consists of three sub-functions. These are main title, subtitle, closing argument. Do not use more than four colors on your landing page. The main text should be a color that grabs a person's attention. Look at your page frequently and update it.
That's it for this episode of Money Moves, JA, brought to you in partnership with Exim Bank's Business Advisory Service, giving you the tools to grow your business. I'm Kalila Reynolds. You can visit my website, kalilareynolds.com, for a full summary of this episode, and visit eximbankja.com. See you next time.